Ezekiel chapter number 37, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, wind. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Father, I pray that you help us now for a few moments. Touch us physically, touch us spiritually. Lord, I pray it be the voice of God heard tonight, not my words. Lord, we'll thank you, we'll bless your good name for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, if you continue reading, it doesn't take very long to understand what is going on here in the book of Ezekiel. Matter of fact, if I just read quickly through verse number 11, you'll find out the Bible says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Before they said our bones are dried and our hope is lost, we are cut off from our part." It's a picture of Israel here. And it is showing the death or the neutral, the dormant state that Israel is living in. But I believe if we could dig into the scriptures tonight, we could use this typology as a picture of Christians today. We could use the death of this valley, and we could use the bones laying here in this valley as a picture of a weary Christian. We could use it as maybe even a backslid Christian, or maybe a Christian who is in a place where they've not felt a touch of God for a long, long time. Can I say to you tonight that it's not very hard to get to that place where you feel like I just not felt God move in a while. If you're not careful, it's only a few steps out of where God wants you to be before you start wondering, how have I got to this place? How come I don't feel the way that I used to feel? Or how come I'm not being blessed the way that I used to be blessed? And before you know it, you'll find yourself in a valley of dry bones. But I believe through the Word of God tonight, we have found the ingredients on how to live again. On how we can live again. I wonder, maybe is there someone in here who knows what it's like to have God come by in their life and breathe upon them. And when they felt low, and when they felt dried up, and when they felt dead, boy, that breath of God started to come over them. And they felt the life just springing back up in them. Almost kind of like you wanted this thing spring up on well. Amen. And you wanted to dig the cobwebs up out of your emptiness and your dry wells one more time because God was moving. How to live again. That's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to give you three things on what it takes to be revived. Three things it's going to take in your life for you to be revived. Number one, I want you to notice, look in the Bible. It takes the Word to be revived. The Bible said in verse number 4, He said, Hear the word of the Lord. Can I say to you tonight that unless you are hearing what God is saying to you, you will not live again. Unless you are not only hearing what God says, but doing what God says, you will be hopeless and you will be helpless in that state. But you have to thank God for the preacher. You have to thank God for a man of God that'll come by Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every night revival's called on. And when the man of God stands and he begins to give you what God has gave him, and hear ye the word of the Lord, and let it bring life back into your soul. You must hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Bible said. The Bible said this about the bones. It says that they were dry bones. The Bible said in verse number 2, He said there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, I don't know about y'all, but this is just how I think about it. I like to hunt. I love it. I like to be outdoors, even if I'm not hunting. I just like to be outside. I like to walk around in the woods. Amen. I like just every now and then getting in a good pile of chiggers somewhere. Somebody say amen. You ain't redneck unless you get chiggers every spring. Somebody say amen. Don't say you redneck and you ain't never had a bad case of the chiggers. Every year you're supposed to get them. Somebody say amen, Brother Sean. Amen. Deep don't help that. That's just natural. You just say, thank you, Lord, for chiggers. But I like to walk around, and I've noticed this. I've come up many times. I can't tell you how many times I've walked up on some sort of a dead animal. And around here, and even where we live at, we got these varmints called coyotes. And if something is dead, it don't take but about one night that whatever was dead is no longer a carcass, but it is just a pile of bones left over. And I noticed this about those bones. Sometimes I can kind of figure out what it is, and sometimes I still scratch my head and try to figure out what animal that used to be. Sometimes you can walk up somewhere in the middle of the woods, you'll find cow bones, you'll find deer bones, you'll find hog bones. A lot of times you'll see their jaw. But I've noticed this about those bones. And every time that I found those bones, they were dead. But the Bible here is being very careful to explain something to us. And that not only that they were just dead bones, but they were dry bones. This is, I believe, what he's trying to say. Not only have they been killed, and not only are they dead, but they've been this way for a while. He said, I looked out across there, and the state that I found them in, they've been like this for a long time. And can I say to you tonight, you may know someone in your life, or it may even be yourself, and you may feel lifeless inside. But can I say that it is a sad day and hour when we not only become lifeless, but when we choose to stay that way, and now the moisture in us, what little bit of hope we have had, is now dried up. And now when God tries to speak to us, He's just speaking to a pile of dry dead bones. They was dead bones and they was dry bones. But can I say to you, when the Word of God speaks to you, it don't matter how dead you are. And it don't matter how dried up you are. The Word of God will not return, amen. It will not become void, but it will speak to that emptiness inside of your heart. But can I say that when God began to speak to Ezekiel and He began to tell him what to do, He said, prophesy to these dry bones. But just because He said prophesy to them didn't mean it was going to fix it. So I can't stand here tonight and I cannot tell you that the Word of God alone fixed the problem here in Ezekiel 37. And if it didn't fix it right there, I can't stand here and tell you, Brother Alex, that by itself is going to fix it, but it's going to take something else to fix the problem of the dryness in your life and the deadness in your life. You say, well, let's keep reading. The Bible says this. Not only is it the Word that's going to revive you, but notice this, secondly, the work of the Lord that will revive you. The Bible says in verse number 6, "And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and will cover you with skin." Now, I begin to read this afternoon, and I begin to study this out, and I looked at that word, that sinews, and this is the word, it said it's a masculine noun. So I had to dig a little further. Strong's wasn't very helpful right there. He's not always the best help. Somebody say amen. So I begin to look a little further, and this is what it said. It means it could be the tendons or the muscles. And the Word of God is telling us here that God began to speak to Ezekiel. He said, "Prophesy to them, and I will begin to reconstruct them on the inside. And I will put back the muscles that it takes to control the inside, the movement." Or can I use this word? "I will reinforce the mechanics of those bones. And I will cause them to be able to move again." See, they've been dried up and they've been dead for so long. They ain't got no meat left on them. The animals have come and they scavenged them up. And they took everything away from them. They've lost their ability to praise. They've lost their ability to pray. They've lost their ability to worship, to walk, to be the Christian that they should be. But I will put the layers back in order, and I will put everything back in on the inside to make them to be able to worship again, to make them to be able to praise again, to make them to be able to live for me again. The sinews, the mechanics of this. He said, but not only that, he said, but I also will cover you with skin. So he said this, something like this. He said, I ain't just going to fix them on the inside. He said, but I'm also going to put the makeup on them. He said, and I'm going to make them look like they got something. He said, so now we got the mechanics on the inside, and now we got the makeup on the outside. He said, so now not only can they look like they work, and not only do they have the ability to work, he said, but everyone else around them will see that I am working on them. But can I also say this? We have to be careful, because some of us enjoy laying in the valley of dry bones. And some of us, if we're not careful, will become complacent and will become a dormant in that place that we're in. And instead of letting God use this to reconstruct us, we'll choose to let God let us stay there for a little while if we're not careful. And we'll get happy about the place that we're in. And we'll say, you know what? It's a lot easier not having to wake up every day and be a good Christian. But it's a lot easier just to wake up and go about my business. It's a lot easier just to wake up and say, I'll read my Bible later. It's a lot easier to wake up and just say, you know what? I've got so much to do. I don't know if I'm going to make it to revival tonight. I've got so much to do. I ain't worried about doing everything that God has called me to do. And instead of letting God get the glory out of reconstructing our lives, we will lay there and we'll say, you know what? Well, I've got the tendons, I've got the mechanics, and now I can surely make it because I've got the makeup. I've got what it takes to look like the Christian. I've got the skin put on me. I've got the things that makes everybody else think I'm okay all over me. And we'll lay there in our valley of dry bones and we'll look just like everybody else. Can I say at this point in time, in Ezekiel's prophecy, in his time of prophesying to these bones, Brother Darnell, it looked like there was a valley full of people. It didn't look like a valley full of dry bones anymore, but it looked like a valley full of dead people, and it looked like a bunch of people laying out there just ready to wake up. But there was one problem still. There still was no life on the inside. And can I say, you may look like a life person. You may look like everything's okay. But on the inside, you know that there is still something missing. On the inside. The sinews. The skin. You got the mechanics. You got the makeup. I want you to notice this, verse number 7. You got the structure. The Bible says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied," listen now, "there was a noise." and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. All laying there. But ain't nothing moved yet. Now all the members are in the right place. And everything's in order. And matter of fact, if you ain't careful, you'll think they was having tent meeting down there because they heard a whole lot of ruckus going on. Somebody over in the next valley might have said, my goodness, it sounds like they're having a big time over there. But the reality was is that was still a valley full of dead people. Them back there. Y'all in the back. I ain't saying y'all in the back, y'all in the backslid section. I'm just saying you that's sitting in the back. You might look up here and you might think, boy, it looks like they're having a big time up there. Boy, I mean, they got the skin on, they got the mechanics, they got the makeup, everything's just right. Boy, and I hear a whole bunch of noise, and I hear a whole bunch of shaking going on. But I wonder if up here really, between all the noise and between the shaking, it's still a valley of dry dead bones. I one way to spot somebody who's just full of noise and full of shaking and full of structure. Brother, I love getting in camp meetings and it gets on. I mean, everybody's just having a big time. But there's some times that I've been sitting in camp meeting and but I seen somebody, I mean, they shouted at everything. They would shout at the drop of the hat and bring their own hat to drop it. They say, turn to page 346. I know my name. Woo! Hallelujah. They say, turn over to page number 57. Amazing. Whoop! Glory. Hallelujah. My favorite song. Sing the answer. Woo! I mean, they take a lap on 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. But if you watch them same people, when God really gets to moving and the wind really starts to blowing, oh, they ain't got nothing to say. They ain't got no arms to wave. They ain't got no laps to run. They ain't got no prayers to go pray. They ain't got no hands to lift up. Because when the wind starts blowing, they realize that something bigger than what they are done walked up in the church house. And if something is bigger than them, they done figured out they're going to be looking at whatever's bigger than I am. So I might as well just sit back down. Can I say, I don't want to be full of noise. I don't want to be full of shaking. I want to be full of the breath of God. And I want to be full of Him. The shaking and the noise was not impressive to Ezekiel, but he realized it's still a valley full of dead people. It's still just a valley full of dry bones. But I want you to notice the next one. Look with me in verse number 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Prophesy! Hallelujah! Woo, I almost feel like I'm there right now. I love the way the Lord is talking to Ezekiel. He said, then said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son. Prophesy, son. And then I can feel it. I get chill bumps going up and down my neck when I even think about it. When the Holy Ghost begins to tell Ezekiel, prophesy, son. Prophesy unto the wind. And the Bible said that Ezekiel, he said, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. Oh, breath. And breathe upon these slain that they may live. Ezekiel knew, yes, it takes the Word of God. And yes, it takes the Word of God. But if this is ever going to work, if they're ever going to get back up on their feet, Lord, we need You to breathe. And we need the wind to blow through this place. We need His breath. Oh, we need His breath. Can I say, preacher, You have to study and you have to pray. But when is the last time you said, "Oh, breathe, oh, wind. Oh, breathe, oh, wind." Sunday school teacher, you got to get full. Sunday school teacher, you got to be full of the Word. You got to be full of whatever your lesson is on that Sunday. But you better find somewhere and say, "Breathe, oh, wind. Come from the far, oh, wind. Come from the corner. Come from heaven. Breathe upon me." Let me tell you something. When those children walk in here, that's not just another one to count. And it's not just another sucker to give out. But that's an eternal soul sitting in the balance of your hands. And it's up to you to be full of God. To say, "I want to be full." Breathe, oh, wind. Breathe, oh, wind. And save these men. When you stand up and lead a song, it's not just about getting the best song in the songbook. It's not just about getting the one that gets everybody fired up. It's not just about getting one to have somebody clap their hands. But it's so the winds will begin to blow. When you wake up in the morning, you say, "Help me to be a daddy. Help me to be the man I'm supposed to be today." It ain't just so you get the best award for being a good daddy. But I want to be a Holy Ghost filled, Holy Ghost led daddy to my babies. For my ministry. Boy, I got to have my ducks in a row. I know that. I got to have everything right. I know that. I got to have sermons writing in this Bible all the time. I know that. I know that, but there's one thing, if I don't have it, ain't nothing going to happen. Is if I don't get somewhere and say, "Oh, wind blows. Oh, wind blows in my life." For those teenagers that come in this place and they sit down on these pews, "Hey, man, Is it just to see how many we have set this Sunday? Is it just to see how many show up for choir practice? Is it just to see how many we can get on a bus? Or is it so we can see the wind start to blow from the four corners? Or is it so we can see the Holy Ghost start to move? What is your motive tonight? Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it so you can hear a bunch of noise and see a bunch of shaking? Or so you can say, 'I know the wind's been blowing in my life.'" We need His breath. When's the last time you asked Him just to breathe on you? I want to give you the last one. Concerning this wind, we need His breath. But God always gives you the option. God, before He ever started telling Ezekiel what to do, He asked him a question. Before He ever said, "I'll put the sinews back in order. I'll put the skin back on them." Before the Lord ever started placing the things back in order for these bones to live, He said, "Ezekiel, you've got to be on board with me first." And He presented him with a question. And the word that He used earlier, it took this to make it all work. It took some faith. Verse number 3. And He said unto me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Son of man, can these bones live? Well, we know what His reply was. "I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest." I don't believe He was being a smart aleck. I don't believe He was belittling God. I believe He was just simply saying, "Oh Lord, You know exactly the answer to that one. Oh, You know. I know. You've got the power and the ability." You want the short version? Yes, sir. Thank you. But you know what? This is what the Holy Ghost dealt with me about. Because if I put myself in the Scripture, you ever try that, putting yourself in the Scripture and seeing how you would handle it? I wondered if when the Lord would ask me, can these bones live again? What would I have said? And this is how I feel Jared Dixon would have looked at the situation. I would have said, Lord, it's too late. It's a valley of dead, dry bones. If you'd have been here, kind of feel like Mary and Martha sometimes. If you'd have been here a little bit earlier, if you would have showed up a little bit sooner when they still had a chance and you could have prevented them from dying, then I might feel a little bit different about it. But can I say, just like Mary and Martha, God wants to let the extreme happen to you so He can show you the extreme He can do for you. Glory! Hallelujah. Right there. Even if I am the one that just said that, I like it. Amen. This is how I work. I want to get everything back in order so God can do with me what He wants to do with me. Can these bones, they might can, but Lord, I'm going to have to fix some things around here first. Let me go ahead and handle the situation. I got a few things. Let me put them back in order. Lord, let me line up the bones where they need to be. And Lord, I let me go find some duct tape and Lord, some meat. I'll wrap them jokers back up and then you can prophesy all over them, Lord, and maybe then they can live. But this is the problem, is God does not want us to fix our mess before He does what He wants to do. He wants to take our mess and use our mess the way He wants to use it. God would be a whole lot happier if we would just take our hands off of everything and say, Lord, all I got to offer is a valley of dry bones. God can do more with your valley of dry bones than you could ever do with a valley full of life. Just give Him your dry bones and say, Lord, revive me. Let me ask you tonight. Do you need to be revived? Have you been hearing the Word of the Lord? Have you been letting Him work on you? Or are you using the makeup and the mechanics just to blend in once again? And when is the last time you fell on your face before God and just said, breathe? Oh, breathe. I remember when we was in Burlington every morning. Whoever gonna play the piano, come on. When we was in Burlington every morning, we had prayer meeting. Tuesday morning through Friday morning, every morning. Brother Daniel Buchanan, he'd preach on prayer every day. He'd give his message or sermon, and at the end of that thing, we'd gather up, and there was a few days, Brother John, that we'd have our prayer meeting time and the crowd would leave. That there would just be a few that would hang around. And there was a handful of times out of those 6 weeks under that tent that we would gather around. And there was one day in particular. I remember we walked up under there. And matter of fact, we had been to another meeting. There was a camp, a youth camp going on that summer, about an hour and 15 minutes away. We had been to that service. God moved, and I mean that matter of fact, God broke out another revival at that camp that morning in Yadkinville, North Carolina. They went 5 weeks. We got back to the tent, and prayer meeting was already over. And it was still a holy feeling up under there, and I was walking up to the stage. And I was going to grab a guitar and just play a little bit and strum and sing a few songs, just kind of by myself and enjoy the presence of God. And I don't know why, but while I was standing up there, I turned back around. And as soon as I turned around, y'all know me, I'm not no spooky preacher. But it's like God ran up under that tent and tackled those men on the front row. And I watched Brother CT just stop. He fell to his knees. And I watched old Brother Daniel Buchanan fall on him. And I watched those men gather around him. And they just started crying out, oh, God, move. Lord, breathe on us one more time. God, we need You. We wasn't trying to ask God to make all the songs sound just right. We wasn't trying to ask God to give him the best sermons that he ever preached. We was just asking God that whatever you wanted to do, we just wanted to make sure that you was breathing on it. Lord, I don't care how you want to use me, just breathe on me. Lord, I don't care where you want to send me, just breathe on me. Lord, I don't care if I'm scrubbing a toilet for a church house or the song leader or a Sunday school teacher or a preacher, but whatever I do, just breathe on me. That day we began to ask God, breathe! Breathe. Can I say this? We will not make it unless we have His breath. I want Him to breathe more than I want Him to do anything else. I want Him to open doors. I want more sermons. But look, I love to go and I love. But before He ever does any of that, I want Him to breathe. When I get in that F-150, I want Him to breathe. When I pull in the driveway, I want Him to breathe. When I pull out of the driveway, I want Him to breathe. When I walk into a church house, I want to feel that breath. When I hear a choir sing, I want to feel the breath. And when I hear a preacher preach, I want to feel the breath. Oh, breathe, God, breathe. Can I say tonight, for your sake, I would find somewhere in this altar and say, God, breathe. For my preacher's sake, God, breathe. Lord, for my family's sake, God, breathe. Can these bones live again? Yes, Lord, they can. But you're going to have to breathe on them. Can I live again? Yes, you can. He's just got to breathe on them. Let's all stand together.